Hey, welcome again to the Game Nuts Podcast, Episode 9. This is Boater.
And Sticky here. Welcome to the Boater and Sticky Show.
I know, it's been so long. It's like 7 episodes ago when it was just the two of us here. Claw's not here today. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know.
Thank God, no. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's nice actually having him here. I like having three people. I think it adds a little dynamic to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Now we're back to the original Cool Kids Club. So.
Yes, exactly. The Adults Kid Club without duty.
The people who actually work here.
Yeah. Alright, so.
You've been playing a lot lately. We'll go with that, and then I've got a couple rumors to talk about, so.
Yeah, there's, I've been in the process of trying to restore some faith back into my PS3. So I picked up both Heavenly Sword and Killzone 2. First, I want to talk about Heavenly Sword, and it's a really good game, but it's only 6 hours long. Like, literally, I beat it in 2 sittings, and it's not worth the full retail $60. It's more
Hopefully
like
it's a, only like what $26.99 now.
Yeah, I could thank God. At that price point, I would say it's a must play. But for $60, it's there's not enough to it. It feels a lot like God of War. I hate to make the comparison like everybody else, but
at least it doesn't feel like Gears of War.
Yeah, that's
with
right. Yeah, it feels like Gears of War with chains and swords.
Long hair.
Yeah, exactly. The long ridiculous hair. It's cool how she has 3 stances. She's got like the stance where she swings them around like Kratos does, mm-hmm. and then she's got the quick stance, which is 2 sword or 1 sword in each of her hands,
yep.
which is fast. And then there's the heavy stance, which is 1 big one.
Okay.
I preferred the heavy stance for most of the game up until the boss fights.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Claw's
not here. I have to take over the immaturity.
Yes. the boss fights are a lot of fun, actually. They've got a ton of character, and the writing in the game is very impressive. It's completely, you can feel like the Japanese pouring out of it. There's a guy named Flying Fox in there who's like, think a Marilyn Manson with, like, wings made out of blades.
Whee!
Yeah. And he flies around and he just, like, teleports around and says things weird and, like, touches people, like gets too close to people and stuff like that. We all know that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the 6 hours is actually good for that game. It's not too long where you start to get bored of the button, like, just constant button mashing. But it's just long enough where you feel sort of fulfilled at the end of it.
Okay.
So overall, I'd say I enjoyed it, but it's not worth $60. It's worth the $40-$30 that it's at now.
Okay, I think we've seen that a lot with the bigger games, is that they start getting repetitive after a while, and the solution is that they don't put that much gameplay time into it. You know, they polish up what they've got instead of coming up with new gameplay mechanics. And which is fine when it's selling at $30 to $40, but when these games are coming out at $60, I prefer them to put a little more into it, you know?
Yeah. Something I would say more like, let's say something more like Devil May Cry. Those ones were more of the full price. Mm-hmm. I like that style hack and slash for the full $60, but that has a lot more of like exploratory and puzzle elements to it, where Heavenly Sword is just straightforward, just beat people down.
Yeah, and you can only beat people up yourself.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Oh, they have a cool thing in there called Aftertouch, where like if you're shooting a bow, she's got a sister named Kai, who's like a cat lady.
Whee.
Yeah,
as you said, we can feel the Japanese just rolling off of it.
Yeah, all the bosses had an animal attached to them. Like, one was a cockroach, he was huge and just big. Another one was a snake, and then there was Flying Fox, which I'm sure you can figure that one out. And you can, when you shoot an arrow, you hold, like, the fire button, and you control the arrow using the 6 axis.
Ooh, okay.
And you can really control the arrow using the 6 axis. It's not just a little bit. It's like you can do full 360s with the arrow.
And it's like Looney Tunes style.
Yeah, it's entertaining. It's that's actually a lot of fun. I'm glad they didn't do too much of it. because there's like there's one level where you do a where you shoot a catapult like that, and there's another one where you fire a bow like that and stuff. So they did it just enough where it was a lot of fun and it didn't get old. Cool. Yep.
More on what you're playing, and then we'll go to news after that. Right. I'm not playing anything new. I'm just like I've been playing a lot of Diablo 2 again. Getting on Skype with my girlfriend and just playing a bunch of Diablo 2. So it's good times.
Yeah, Diablo 2 is awesome. Speaking of PS3 stuff, restoring more faith. I tried Killzone because, as everybody knows, everybody has been saying it's the best shooter on the system. Now, I kind of want to agree with that. There's a part of me that really wants to agree with that. But then there's that other part of me that sees tiny little things that are just annoying as hell in that game.
Like what?
Metal Gear Solid makes you have an 8-minute load time at the beginning of the game and then 3-minute load times in between each chapter.
Okay.
Now, most people call that very annoying.
Yes.
I was one of the ones that I'm used to being on a PC, so that's not, I wasn't too upset about it, but you know, it was a little annoying. Killzone is much worse. They don't give you the option to install the game. You can't install the game. And the load times are outlandish. Like literally probably a minute to a minute and a half getting into each game.
Which in a shooter is, you know, a fast-paced shooter game, which I get the feeling that it is, is bad. You know, Metal Gear Solid can be fast-paced, can also be slower-paced because of its story-driven nature, and, you know, longer load times are a little more forgivable. Killzone, not so much.
Yeah, especially when you're going to play online, and you go to start a game, and it takes about a minute and a half for you to load, and you know, some people even longer without their connection, or like, you know, without a good connection.
So you're sitting there talking to everyone else in the room, and ASL just doesn't cut it anymore, and you still got a minute left.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking to anybody because I have a Bluetooth headset, and neither does anybody else on the PS3.
Unless you got SOCOM or Warhawk.
Yeah, unless you have SOCOM or Warhawk. That's where you see people actually making conversation. Killzone, there was like, in a game of like 32, I think I saw 6 people with their headset on, usually. In its defense, the game types, the way that they do the game type, it's not like a deathmatch game, it's not a capture a flag game. It's a 25-minute game broken up into each one of those segments. You'll have a 5-minute segment of deathmatch. You'll have a 5-minute segment of assassination.
So the loading time is before the whole game, not between segments.
No, it's before the whole round.
Okay.
But it's not just before the round. It's like from the start menu to the multiplayer menu, from the multiplayer menu to the, you know, to the part where you're selecting maps.
Yeah.
And then from there to your actual game. It took me about 25 minutes actually to start playing Killzone once I put it on my PS3.
Wow.
Yeah. That annoys the hell out of me.
Meanwhile, Halo, you would have completed two different.
Yeah, I would have been. Yeah, I would have been bored by Halo by the time Killzone started up. You know.
Yeah. Now, actual gameplay. How does Killzone compare to Halo? Because that's, you know, best shooters on the system versus best shooter on the system. How do they compare?
Now,
I gotta ask.
Killzone almost. I would say Killzone feels like closer to Call of Duty than it does to Halo.
Okay.
Halo feels like everything's sort of light and quick. Or I don't want to say quick, but I don't think things
feel light.
A little
more of an arcadey shooter.
Yes. Killzone, like, for some reason, like, when you move your guy and when you shoot your gun, everything feels heavy. Like, there's a sense of weight to everything. Like,
okay.
When you're firing your gun, you can, like, it gives you a good sense of the recoil on it and stuff like that. It's not as accurate as Halo, and people don't take as much damage as they do in Halo. But there's a lot of, like, cool Team Fortress-type stuff. There's rockets, there's turrets, there's medics, all sorts of things like that. So
more depth, a little more slower. Not slower paced, but
it's actually, I would say, it is a little slower paced even than Halo. When it switches between these round types, there leaves, like, a little bit of a grace period for you to, like, A, regroup, and B, like, figure out what your next objective is. And that's where it slows the game down a little bit, but I think it works well because, you know, after you're playing assassination on one guy, and then all of a sudden you hop into, like, territory control, that's gonna be hard. Yeah, that was good. I do like the class system, though, which is a lot of fun. I love class-based shooters. Team Fortress is always one of my favorites, and I think it works well in that game. So overall, I'd say it's a great game for the system. I haven't touched a single player, but it's not my favorite shooter ever. Like, I got a feeling I'll play it for another couple days and then hop back onto Call of Duty or Halo.
Right. Still nothing I've been playing. It looks like it's a sticky show today. Just Rock Band 2, I finally started playing guitar and singing at the same time, which is fun on the few songs that I actually know all the lyrics to.
It's a task. You have to know all the lyrics. Like,
And there's some songs that you start and it's like, I know the lyrics to this, and you're playing guitar and it's like, wait, I don't know the actual lyrics. I just know syllables that sound close to the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly. And then you try to, then when you look up to try to see what the lyrics are, now you're like failing your guitar.
Yeah. It's like right now I'm a 4-star player on hard on guitar because I'm trying to train myself on that.
Yeah.
So it's like I can still consistently do that while only looking up the lyrics a couple times.
Yeah.
Singing on medium and I managed to 5-star as a group, so.
Yeah, well, singing on medium, like, you can just, like, vomit into the microphone and it would come
that's,
out.
That's singing on easy where I think someone spoke the Declaration of Independence to the Beastie Boys song from Rock Band 2.
It's completely believable.
You next.
Alright. Well, the other thing that I was playing, I just picked up Wii Sports Resort and with the new Wii Motion Plus attachment, which, for the love of God, should have been with the Wii to begin with.
Yep.
But that's...
We talked about it back with the E3 thing. If they released it a year later with the Wii Motion Plus technology, they wouldn't have made up for that year of sales.
Yeah, agreed. And it's besides the point, but
yep.
The fact is that Wii Sports Resort is amazing. It's a really, really good game. Anybody that even had a semblance of liking for the first Wii Sports...
Which was anybody who had a Wii.
Yeah, which is anybody that even touched it, is gonna love this one. They took all the stuff that was in there before and A, made it more accurate with the controls, B, added achievements to it, like, they're called stickers in Wii Sports Resort.
Okay.
But they're entertaining nonetheless.
Okay.
And C, added more games. That was...
Yeah.
I almost lost C for a second. I was in there. I said B and then... I didn't know. They've got a lot of new ones that are a ton of fun. They have archery, which is a blast. Because not only do they have like the target and some of the achievements or some of the stickers for that, also in every level they have a hidden fruit that you have to like aim up into the sky to try to hit because it's so far away.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's... It's a lot harder than you actually think. They have Frisbee, which you throw... Either play Frisbee Golf or you throw it at a dog, which is... very fun.
Can you bean the dog and knock it out?
No, but if you throw it in the right place, he does a jumping catch instead of a regular catch.
Okay.
Yep. And actually, in the second level, balloons will come down. So, like, say the target will be straight in front of you, and a balloon will be slightly to the right, so you have to kind of curve it and hit the balloon and then drop it at the target.
Okay.
Yeah, they add a lot of little things like that to make the game fun. Obviously, everything's 4-player, pretty much. Dog fighting, one of my favorites. You basically hold the Wiimote like a paper airplane.
Oh my god!
It's not even a joke. And you dog fight. Like, your guy has a balloon on the back of it with, like, you know, it says a number on there, and you just shoot at the other guy's balloon.
Wow.
Yeah. And it looks surprisingly good. Like, they give you this whole island to fly around, and it's actually pretty big, and there's lots of, like, there's, like, places that you can go to. Like, every sport has its own place on this island, so as you're doing, like, the dog fight and the island flyover, you could actually, like, collect these interest points, and it'll show you, it's like, oh, archery field, beginner, or basketball court, and
okay.
Or, like, a castle or something, whatever.
Is Wii Sports Resort going to be the next Wii Fit? Are we going to see that, like,
yes.
Being amazing?
Yeah.
Like that?
And it's going to sell like crack.
All right. Well, we got four boxes of crack here then.
Yes.
And I want to see how fast they go. We got four boxes of this year's crack and three boxes of last year's crack that we fed. And I want to see which one sells faster at this point.
Yeah, it's a good thing that crack ages well because I think that...
Oh, yeah. Nintendo's crack ages amazingly.
Yes, it does. I mean, look at Mario. It still sells. So there's a lot of stuff on Wii Fit or Wii Sports Resort. That's actually a lot of fun, and everybody loves it. My girlfriend loves it. My hardcore gamer friends are addicted to it. Like,
wow.
You know, and I'm actually going for stamps at this point. And things like, you know how everybody just ate up that bowling in the first one? Well, they took that, they just made the lane look prettier, made it more accurate because of the Wii Motion Plus, and then added two new game modes. They have, get ready for this, 100-pin bowling.
Okay.
It's bowling with 100 pins.
Okay.
And like, a wide lane.
Like, I sort of remember the practice mode where you just keep going with increased number of pins on the original Wii Sports. You know, you start with 10 and then 15, and it keeps adding a row and back.
Oh, I never played that.
You should.
Oh.
It might be a practice mode in Wii Sports Resort, and that would be fun.
Oh, that's a full game mode on this one. And there's like a sticker for, like, there's no gutters in the 100 pin.
Right.
So you can get more pin action. Mm-hmm. And there's a sticker for banking it off the wall and getting a strike, which is hard and entertaining. And then there's also
I did actual wheel bumper bowling with for the heck of it for my birthday last year. Just my dad, my sister, and me just went down to a bowling alley, set up bumpers, and just, you know, can I get the triple bank? Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun actually.
So yeah, I can imagine.
And then they have spin control where they put like little bumpers in the middle of the lanes.
Yep, that was one of the practice modes too. But I imagine it'd be a lot better when you actually have the precision.
Yeah, and that's part of it. It's like actually being able to feel like more, like for me, it was either you're spinning it or it's going straight.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like you can sort of control the spin, but it's still sort of a rough thing, and you can tell right from the beginning. I'd be really interested to play Wii Sports Bowling and then go play Wii Sports Resort Bowling and just compare them side by side, how they feel.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it'd be like jaw drop.
You really notice the difference. Honestly, the Wii Motion Plus really, really affects it the way that everybody hopes it does. It makes it as accurate as they pimp it. The bad news is Sword Fight is still just a waggle fest.
Okay.
It's not deep enough for you to actually like stand there and know where you're gonna swing.
Right.
It's just wave your hand around.
Which would be interesting if you had lightsaber duels done by a third-party developer. Gee, that would be great if that was done with the Wii Motion Plus. Oh wait, LucasArts is pissed at Nintendo, so that's probably not gonna happen.
Yep, they're mad. They really were mad about that because it wasn't a week after they released their lightsaber duels game that they're like, oh, we've got this new attachment coming out.
It's gonna make it accurate instead of just being random.
Ah! Yeah, LucasArts, that's what they were praying for the whole time, and then they're like, alright, so I guess it's not coming. Let's make a game like we wanted to, and then all of a sudden, it's coming again.
Yeah, you know, and if we had really good online support, they'd be able to release a patch for it to include Wii Motion Plus support.
Yeah.
That would be cool, but I don't really think that the Wii has good infrastructure for that.
It doesn't have enough. I actually read the other day that the iPhone is more powerful than the Wii.
Doesn't surprise me.
I guess...
Yeah, the iPhone's a full-fledged handheld computer. The Wii is a very specialized gaming machine.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't even have, I guess the iPhone has 128 megabytes of RAM, whereas the Wii has, 88.
I would expect it to have more.
I don't know. That's the number that I saw the other day. I could be wrong.
88's a weird number for RAM, dude.
That's what I said when I was looking at it, but.
So, we'll have to.
I think you saw it on Kotaku.
Maybe. We'll corroborate that and look at it afterwards.
Yep.
You wanted to talk about that really quick.
I've been itching to. Well, the new game Fat Princess just came out, which looks very entertaining.
What's that about again?
That's basically there's a princess that starts in the middle, and there's two bases. Now each base gets to choose, each player gets to choose what class they are, either an archer, a mage, or a warrior. think there's a couple other ones.
It's the standards.
Yeah, and the key is to get your get the princess back to your base. Now, while you're doing this, the other team can be feeding her food, which makes her fatter and makes her harder to move. She moves back to your base slower, and it takes more people. At some point, I think it takes like 3 people to move her and stuff like that. And it's like a multiplayer PSN game.
Okay.
So that seems really, really funny. From what I've heard, the voice commentary is hilarious. The art style is really good.
Okay.
And I think that the game mechanic works well, too. It seems like, you know, that's a cool sort of... It's capture the flag would make the flag fatter and slower. It almost looks like that. It almost looks kind of like a Castle Crasher style.
Okay.
It's not like that same 2D.
Right.
It's a 3D world, but like it's got that same like miniature knights sort of look to it.
Sweet.
Yeah. And as soon as I can scrounge up $10, I will buy Fat Princess.
Another game coming to PSN is Braid. Great. Which came out on Xbox Live last year, and I'm like, oh, I played the demo for this. This looks really cool. And I spent $15 on it, and I really wish I hadn't.
Yeah, I wasn't that big a fan of Braid.
Neither was I. So many people are like, oh my god, look at it. It's indie, and it's arty, which means that its gameplay can be, just be sort of okay, sort of innovative.
Yeah.
And yes, the gameplay was innovative, but there's a difference between having a puzzle game that really makes you think and having a puzzle game that just frustrates you. Like, a thinking puzzle game will, like a good puzzle game will have the dummy solution, which is pretty easy to look at, but then encourage you to find more solutions. Portal is, again, the best example of this. You can play through it, and then you can go and, oh, I'm gonna beat this level with just 2 portals.
Yeah.
And that's how I think puzzle games should be. I had to look for a walkthrough on Braid, because, like, the first zone, pure genius. I love it. The first couple zones are great. The last 2 zones are just... a couple of the solutions are so esoteric, it's ridiculous.
One more time?
A couple of the zones, the solutions are esoteric.
I don't know what
that means. Basically, it's so ridiculous the way that you have to solve it. You have to know exact... how it should be done with the exact timing.
Wow.
And something where you have to figure out is something that is that tough and get perfect timing on it. Like, there are some obvious solutions where you still have to get exact timing, but if there is a very hard-to-find solution, it shouldn't rely on timing, because then you don't even notice that that's the solution. You're like, I try it once, oh, that it seems so off that that can't possibly be it.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I gotta go back and be like, well, you know, that is the actual solution.
Speaking of platformers, I played the Splosion Man demo.
Okay.
And at first, I was hesitant. But after playing it, it is a ton of fun. And you know why? It's because it's multiplayer. It's 4-player multiplayer. So, like, it turns into this beautiful aerial ballet of explosions. Like there'll be parts where both of you have to jump in the air, and then one person has to explode and send the other person flying up onto this ledge so he can drop down, like, you know, something so the other guy can get up. But you get to do it 3 times. You get to explode, like, off of everything. Like, you get to explode off the walls and off of other people and off of scientists and barrels. And it was a ton of fun. Like, I played, they gave us 4 different levels. They gave us the first 3 and then 1, like, midway into the first world, so it gave it a little bit more difficulty.
Okay. Yeah, like, I liked Braid's demo because it was the whole first world and then, you know, a couple from the next world.
Mm-hmm. And, it just worked really, really well, and I think I'll get it because it's 4-player local multiplayer.
Oh, ooh, local multiplayer.
Woohoo! Yeah, exactly.
Local dying art.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't more games come out with that?
I don't know. I wanted to play... Like, my friend got Need for Speed Undercover, and we were gonna go play that, and then it just immediately launched into the single-player campaign. Eventually, we're like, how do we go back to the main menu to do multiplayer? Oh, there is no local multiplayer. There is on the PS2 version, but not on the Xbox 360 version.
Which, you know what I think it is? From what I've heard, it seems like a lot of publishers will make their game look so good and They'll make it just good enough so that it'll run at a good frame rate on your system. Mm-hmm. At, say, 60 frames.
Yeah.
When they do local multiplayer, it's basically having to run the game twice.
Well, Need for Speed Most Wanted is actually something that I recommend over Undercover because it has the same sort of get away from the cops thing, and it has local multiplayer. And if you look and pay attention, then it actually nerfs the graphics a bit. Left 4 Dead does the same thing. When it goes split screen, it keeps the frame rate, but it nerfs the graphics. And when you're doing split screen, you're not as caring about the graphics as much. You're caring about competing or working with your the other person there.
And not only that, your screen's half as big, so
you don't notice. So there's really no good excuse not to do local multiplayer except for just sheer laziness.
Yeah.
You know, not putting the a couple months of time into it.
Everybody talks about how online multiplayer is where the future is and how that's how everybody's going to play eventually.
I like having people on my couch playing a game with me.
Yeah, there's some sort of appeal to having a person right next to you that you can, like, badmouth while you're playing.
Splosion Man is for what system?
360 on the Xbox Live Arcade, and I believe it also came out on the PS3, but I haven't checked.
Okay, I'll have to check on the 360 then. I was afraid that was a PS3 exclusive. I'll have to check that out.
It's definitely on the XBLA. That's where I played it.
Okay.
And $10. It's pretty good.
Nice.
And I guess it comes with 50 levels, I think.
Ooh, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Time for me to actually leave the discussion for a couple minutes. A few rumors for everyone. First off, the one that we're going to laugh right out of the box is that there was rumors of a Twilight MMO.
God, what a sparkling piece of crap.
And I'm so glad that it's not actually going to happen, because people looked at it and it's like, seriously, and all Twilight fans are like, yay! And a little bit of investigating shows that the website for the game developer is their MySpace page, and he happens to be a huge Twilight fan, which is fine for someone working on a game to be a fan of the source material, but there's no publisher behind it, and looking even more, they're doing it sort of for free to get a publisher to notice them and then publish it for them, which never happens.
Right.
So
we can consider... They're not going to make any money off of that.
Yeah, we can consider... Oh my god, there's money for anything Twilight right now. It's probably the best untapped cash cow there is. But nothing to worry about. Let's move on. The other rumor is everyone's favorite rumor that we're going to invite in for a moment, and that's the PS3 Slim. There was actually a listing on Amazon.de, the German Amazon, for the PS3 Slim. Which could be a couple things. I mean, it's possible that some random person was like, ooh, I'm going to make an entry for this, which can be done, and it just wasn't verified. The other thing is just that Sony is doing some amazing PR leaks to get people to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's Sony doing it. They have a track record of not letting anybody know about that sort of thing before it happens. I mean,
like their PSP Go that they announced at E3.
Oh yeah, that's the most hidden, or that's the biggest secret that ever.
Sony admitted at E3 that they were secrets in them are never happens.
Right, but I don't see the PS3 Slim coming soon. It's coming. Don't get me wrong. Like, of course they're gonna make one. So
I mean, this rumor mill is just going to keep going at about the same pace. It's not gonna die down. It's not gonna speed up. And eventually, like a year down the line, maybe people are gonna be like, "See, I told you so." Like 2 years ago. But this doesn't look anything like that picture taken in that Chinese, manufacturer.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It was ugly.
So
I mean, it's eventually going to come out. Look at the PS1, look at the PS2, they did it. They made those happen, and it's just one of those occurring rumors because everybody knows it's going to happen. It's just about timing.
At the same time, though, the PS3, like the original Xbox, like the 360, is sort of setting itself up to be a media center for the house, and not just a console. A console you would expect to be smaller and off to the side. A media center, like a VCR... Oh, sorry, about DVD player.
Oh,
VCR player.
Jesus.
Is allowed to be a bit larger because it is, right there next to the TV, does everything with the TV. Instead of just something small that you put off to the side.
Right. I don't know. They could, if they could fit all the stuff in there and just make it a little bit smaller, I'd be fine with it. I think I'd like it.
All right, one more thing before we get running is Guitar Hero 5. It was announced that on the 360, avatars will be in Guitar Hero 5. Instead of using some of the pre-made characters, you can either create your own or you just use your avatar. Which, you know, I saw a quick video of that. It looks pretty cool. You know, and actually the video was posted on Kotaku, had some of their staff members on it, and you can actually see what the bottom of an avatar shoe looks like.
Oh, really?
Because he actually kicks out. It's like, hey, look, he didn't go extra knees.
Yeah. That was funny. That was so funny when he did that.
Oh, yeah. But avatars in Guitar Hero 5. Any comments?
Okay, cool, I guess.
All right, I'm actually looking forward to more big name, you know, non-arcade titles that have avatars in it. Kingdom for Keflings is the only thing I play that has my avatar wandering around in there. And I'm looking to get more games like that, so.
I don't really care, honestly. Okay.
I like my avatar, he's a neat little dude. As I said, I mean, there's a lot of games that it wouldn't work in. I think Guitar Hero has just the right sort of atmosphere for it.
It does, yeah. I mean, if it saves me from having to create one more character that looks like myself, mildly, vaguely.
Ish.
Yeah. Then I guess I'm happy with it.
Alright, so that was what was interesting to us this week. Stay tuned next week for episode 10. It's going to be all three of us here. I don't know what we're going to do to celebrate double digits. Maybe we'll just, you know, ignore it and go on with life as usual. Or maybe we'll just, you know, screw around and hit each other with, I don't know, N64s or something.
Alright, we'll figure something out.
Alright, this is Boater signing off.
Sticky out.